This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on April 19, 2007. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
To convene the open meeting of the Federal Election Committee, Federal Election Commission for Thursday, April 19th, 2007. We have a number of items on our agenda today, two of which we are going to hold over. The first involving a proposed draft notice and the proposed rulemaking on hybrid ads. We were working on a draft and have decided to take a little more time to make sure that we've got that document in shape before bringing it forward. And the second matter we're going to hold over involves the report of the Audit Division on Gebhardt for President. There was some new issues came up at the very end of that, that we've got a submission from counsel and that has been referred over to our general counsel's office for their views on that, so we're going to hold that over a little bit as well. As a consequence, our meeting today will be somewhat shorter than we had originally envisioned. But with that said, the first item on our agenda is the correction and approval of the minutes. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of the minutes of an open meeting of the Federal Election Commission of Thursday, April 12, 2007, as set forth in Agenda Document X0731.
Very good. The Vice Chairman is so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you could record the Vice Chairman's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0. The second item on our agenda involves a draft advisory opinion in 2007-4 involving a company whose name I believe is pronounced Adel Adel. And we have presenting both Tony Buckley, Ron Catwan from the General Counsel's Office, as well as Rosie Smith. Mr. Buckley?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Adel Adel Incorporated, through its Chief Executive Officer, Duke Williams, requested the advisory opinion before you in Agenda Document 07-29. The request asks whether Adel Adel may offer online credit card processing services to political committees and whether payment of Adel Adel's processing fees by the contributors would be contributions to the recipient political committees. We have submitted two drafts for your consideration. With respect to the first question, both drafts conclude that Adel Adel may offer its online credit card processing services to political committees. With respect to the second question, Draft A concludes that payment of Adel Adel's processing fees by the contributors would be contributions to the recipient political committees, while Draft B concludes that payment of Adel Adel's processing fees by the contributors would not be contributions to the recipient political committees. The Commission has received three comments on the drafts, one from the requester, one from a company called Moneris, which works with the requester in processing online credit card transactions, and one joint comment from Democracy 21 and the Campaign Legal Center. To address a concern expressed by the requester in the comments, we suggest one modification to the drafts. On page 1, line 23 of both drafts, after the word transactions, we recommend inserting a comma and then the phrase, but is not itself a financial service provider or a credit card company. Thank you, and I'd be happy to address any questions you may have.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Buckley. Any comments or discussion on the matter before us? Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since you started to call us the committees, I mean, I only get 5 minutes. Sorry. Well, I want to talk about this, and particularly draft A, for kind of in depth, and at the risk of boring my colleagues, I think it's important to look at the AOs that were cited in draft A and to show why, in my opinion, they don't decide this issue. I mean, first of all, we need to understand that Adel Adel is not a credit card processing company, as our counsel made clear. They're kind of a gateway. They're an internet or software provider, according to the IRS. And we all agree that they can provide these kind of services to political committee without making an in-kind contribution. There's no question of that. They're a commercial vendor. They're providing services in the ordinary course of business and the usual normal charge. Now, the issue here the crucial issue we have to decide is whether the individual contributor can pay what everyone is calling the convenience fee or the processing fee for making this contribution, or whether that amount is part of the contribution limit and the processing fee amount has to be treated as an additional contribution to the committee. Now, Draft A cites to a series of AOs. If you haven't looked at those AOs, I think it's important that you do, because I don't think Draft A properly lays out the limitations in those AOs. I point out to you a couple things. First of all of the previous AOs were issued when the convenience fee business model did not exist, did not come into use in the business community until the year 2000. Second, if you start with the very first one, which is AO 1991-01, that was an AO involving a law firm's PAC asking if it could solicit credit card contributions by mail. The commission agreed to the proposal and noted that the amount of any contribution by credit card is the amount authorized by the contributor. Any deduction or discounts taken by the credit card issuer against the proceeds of such contributions should be reported by the committee as operating expenses. What's important here is the requester never asked whether the processing fee could be paid by the contributor. They did not ask that question. If they had, the commission could have logically looked at this the same way it looked at the way contributions were normally made in 1991. How were they made in 1991 by just about everybody? They were made by check. And if somebody paid a contribution by check, the committee had two options. If they sent out a solicitation letter to contributors, they could include a business reply envelope with a stamp on it. And if they did, then obviously the cost of that business reply envelope and the stamp is part of their operating costs. But if they send out a solicitation without that, so that the contributor has to send it back in his own envelope and put his own stamp on it, we did not say then, and we don't say today, that what I would consider the processing cost reduces the amount of the contribution and has to be listed by the committee as an operating cost. And I would point out that most checking accounts, they aren't all free. There is a processing cost paid by the contributor for the bank handling his check. We don't require the committee to pay that as a processing cost. In fact, we don't require that for any other ways of making contributions. If you want to contribute to a campaign, you can send them a personal check, you can buy a money order or a cashier's check at a post office or a bank, or you can send them a wire transfer. Now, in none of those ways of paying a contribution do we require the processing fee or the cost of that payment to be paid by the committee. We allow the contributor to pay that. And I would point out that if, for example, you were to buy a money order or a cashier's check, those are like $8 and $10. If you send a wire transfer, I checked with Western Union this morning, it's $15 in the United States. That's a much higher cost than the fee that this company is going to charge, which according to their comment letter is going to be $2.49. So Draft A is saying that the committee has to absorb the cost of that $2.49, but if the contributor uses one of these other four methods, which some of which are more expensive, why the committee doesn't have to absorb it. So it would be completely inconsistent for us to say that of the five different ways a contributor has of making a contribution, and four of them, some of which are more expensive, it's okay for the contributor to pay the processing costs. But here, if they want the contributor to pay the processing costs of the credit card, that can't be done. And I think for us to be consistent in our application of law is very, very important. Now, there are other AOs cited by Draft A after the 1991. I would point out that the 1994 AO is only a restatement of the conclusion laid out in the first AO.
The 1995 AO simply repeats the language of the 1991 AO. In neither of those AOs is there an analysis of this issue. In the 1995 AO, number 34, the requester simply assumed that the political committee would pay the processing costs. Again, this specific question was not addressed. The 1999 AO, again, cited in draft A, is exactly the same. It just restates the prior AO opinions, doesn't deal with this issue. Now, just because it's been the typical practice of political committees that engage credit card processors to pay the processing costs doesn't mean this is the legally required method. In fact, a political committee paying the processing cost is the exception rather than the rule. This is the first time the commission has actually addressed this particular issue. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't permit this. There's nothing in the FICA statute that forbids this. You'll notice that none of the prior AOs or this AO cite any statutory or regulatory citation for why it would have to be done that way. Now, the comments we received from Atlatl, I'm not sure if it's Atlatl or Atlatl.
Yes.
Atlatl, okay. Indicate that this convenience fee business method is a commonplace standard business practice. And in fact, you know, one of our other comments showed us websites from now all these different places where this is the model. You can now pay your all kinds of state and local taxes using a credit card and you pay the processing fee. The IRS does the same thing. There are all kinds of different places where you can now use your credit cards, because that's the way everything's going. You know, people less and less are using checks, they're using credit cards, and you pay the processing fee. Now, one of the comments raised what I think is a red herring, that if we go with draft B and allow the contributor to pay the processing fee, well, then suddenly all the costs of fundraising can be passed on to the contributor. I mean, that is a complete red herring. All we're talking about here is the processing fee for the contributor sending in a check, and the fact that the other four ways we allow contributions to be paid by check, money order, cashier's check, or wire transfer, the fact that we allow the contributor to pay the processing costs of that have not somehow led to this huge loophole or had the commission suddenly say, well, all the other costs of solicitation and raising contributions can be paid by the contributor. We don't do that, and this isn't going to change that. In fact, draft B would simply mean we're being consistent with how we treat other contributions. There's also nothing surprising or alarming about going with draft B. Back when bills were paid by cash or check, the service provider did not pay any transaction costs. This changed when people started using credit cards more and more. To the extent that shifting the transaction cost back to the consumer is not possible by simply raising the price, the convenience fee business model has filled the void and taken the situation back to the way it was when people used checks and cash to pay. The political world here is simply catching up with the business world. And this is a new way of doing business. It's not one that's forbidden by our statutes. It's not one that opens up a big loophole. It's a way of being consistent and not being inconsistent, because I really don't see how you can logically argue that there's some kind of difference between using your credit card to make a contribution and sending in a check to make your contribution where you pay the processing costs. And I think we ought to go with draft B, and I'm happy to make a motion for that, Mr. Chairman. Thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Von Spakovsky. Other thoughts or comments? I mean, I think that Commissioner Von Spakovsky has raised a number of I think, important and excellent points. And certainly this is a matter that there's been individual conversations among the commissioners as we tried to sort through this. And I think one of the things that he's well identified one of the things that is motivating us in this analysis, which is to try and ensure that our rules do not end up as a barrier to innovation or the introduction of new technologies into the political system. I think, however, at the end of that analysis, I end up with a different conclusion than he does, and I support the conclusion that is reached in draft A in this case. And I think the reason why I've come to that conclusion is because it strikes me that what we're discussing really here is the costs of solicitations, and historically those have been borne by the political committee. It strikes me that that what is being offered here is very similar to traditional services that fall under the category of the cost of operating websites and processing payments. And those have historically and normally would be considered the costs that are to be borne by the committee. And I think that conclusion is reinforced in this case by the fact that the vendor, who the vendor is, the fee, how much the fee is, are matters that are bargained between the political committee and the vendors that are selected here and are not things within the control of the donors. There are a number of other sort of circumstances, and Commissioner Mazbakovsky is correct. We do want to try and be consistent. There are a number of other circumstances, and he's talked through them, in which donors do bear the costs of delivering their contributions to the campaign. To the degree that a donor wants to hand deliver it, they bear whatever the costs are of getting themselves over to campaign headquarters. To the degree that they choose to mail it in, they often pay the price of the stamp. They want to use overnight mail, they pay more. They want to wire it, they pay more. These are all decisions which the donor makes. In this particular circumstance, choice and the control of this, the only way the donor can make their contributions by a credit card in this context is a system designed and bargained and created by the political committee in their selection of vendors. So it strikes me in some ways as different. And it's not entirely true that there's no other circumstance in which the costs of solicitation in this area are not borne by the political committee. I was listening and I was thinking in the context of payroll deduction. We do treat the cost of operating payroll deduction systems as potentially contributions which must be paid for by the political committee or to the degree that is being operated by an organization with a SSF by the corporation or labor union. So there are other circumstances where these kinds of processing costs are treated by this agency as traditional costs which must be borne by the political committee or in some cases by a related entity. So I think that there is no doubt that there are instances in the market where online payment systems, which have in their origins been costs traditionally borne by businesses, and hence from the perspective of the consumer have been free, where they are starting to charge a service fee for using online contributions through credit cards. But at the end of it, I just don't see this as much more than a cost shifting from the organization that is providing the services, or in this case, a political committee, to the person purchasing the services. And so it strikes me the draft A's conclusion that these remain within the context of the traditional cost of solicitation borne by a political committee to be the correct outcome. Other thoughts or comments? Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think these are difficult issues, although they are also incredibly arcane ones, and it's remarkable that anybody showed up to listen to this discussion. But while I agree with Commissioner Mazbakovsky that we do want to be consistent, I think that the more consistent view with our prior practice, with the Commission's prior practice, is represented in draft A, so I also support that draft.
Commissioner Mazbakovsky?
Mr. Chairman, I respect your opinion, but I want to point out one thing, and that is something you said that I don't believe is correct, and that is that...
Uh-oh.
and that's what I think... look, that was kind of confusing about this. You know, this company is... This is not the card
This is not the credit card processing company. And I think you were saying in when you were talking about this that this really isn't any different than the political committee in the past paying the card processing fee. But if you look at the, and this is, like I said, part of the reason this was confusing, if you look at the comment that was sent in by the company, you'll see that they're charging a standard fee as a gateway, $2.49. The committee doesn't have a contract with the card processing company. ADL has the contract. And the card processing charge is going to be paid by not by the political committee, but by ADL. And it's a differing amount. And while they're only going to, ADL is only going to have a fee of $2.49, apparently, no matter what the contribution amount, the card processing charge to them is going to go up as the amount of the contribution goes up. So they're actually going to, at some point, they may be losing money on this. It's not, technically, it's not the same as these other situations we have discussed. And I think that's part of the key difference here.
I think that I agree that this was confusing, and I did find the supplemental comments helpful in trying to discern exactly how this business model operates. At the end, I still concluded that they more comfortably conform to what we think of as a vendor to the political committee than as a service provider to the donor. Other thoughts or comments on this? Commissioner Walther?
Well, I must confess I've gone back and forth on this, and I wanted to congratulate the Al for the cogent response. I thought that was great. It's educational, and I've struggled with, I think, the issues that we faced recently with different approaches toward collecting contributions and holding them for various reasons and then distributing them out, and who gets the interest and who gets the profit, and we've kind of worked our way through that without really taking the time to take a look at the big picture, including some of those new models that are always being looked at with new technology, and coming up with a clearly concise approach. I've gone back and forth on this because I can see, as the Commissioner Lance Pekoski pointed out, we can make a variety of choices on how we're going to deliver our money, and some are more expensive than others, and those are elections that we make, and if we choose to FedEx the check, I grant you that, that's the cost of FedEx, and if you want to get it to, we can't really raise the money right away, well, we can FedEx it, or we can wire it, and those costs are the ones that we pick up and don't expect the candidate to pick up, so where you draw the line, I think, is a tough one for me. I am going to end up supporting draft A. I think that we need to look carefully at how we want to draw the final line, as I think the chairman pointed out in one of his emails. But in this particular case, too, I'm not totally comfortable with the way the charge is made because there's, as I understand it, the charge ultimately goes up. The ultimate cost goes up with the size of the contribution. It's not a flat fee like you would normally get if on a website, if you were going to send some money by a website and pay for something on to buy a football or whatever, a no-name sweatshirt, say. The cost is going to be roughly the same for that process. Here there's an increased cost, and it bothers me where we go with this, so I'm inclined to stay where I keep the line where it is until we give it more thinking, and maybe at that point we can find some lines that will meet some sensible models for other ways of delivery.
Very good. Thank you. Other comments, suggestions, thoughts?
Sure, we can end up on this.
Discussions? Okay. Hearing no other comments, it might be a fitting time for people to make motions, or how would people like to proceed? Commissioner Von Spakovsky?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that draft B be approved by the commission.
Okay. Very good. Commissioner Von Spakovsky has moved the adoption of draft B. In response to advisory opinion request 2007-4. Discussion on the motion. Hearing Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
No. Madam Secretary, if you could record that Commissioner Von Spakovsky's motion has failed by a vote of 2-3. Commissioner Weintraub.
In hopes that perhaps someone might be having their first choice fail, might be willing to shift in order to provide an answer to the requester, I'm going to move the approval of Draft A.
Okay. Commissioner Weintraub has moved the approval of Draft A in response to Advisory Opinion Request 2007-4. Discussion on the motion. Vice Chairman Mason.
I'll help you out, Commissioner Weintraub.
I was hoping you might.
And the requester. Let me say first that I think some of the dire predictions and concerns about the consequences of shifting a $2.49 cost one way or the other in the fundraising equation are far overblown. And because that sort of works both ways, I think we're better off giving the requester an answer here, among other things, because we are not telling the requester that they can't do this. In other words, they may offer their business model to a political committee, and the political committee can do this. The only consequence is that when the political committee gets a $50 contribution through this method, that they will have to report a $52.49. Well, they won't have to report a contribution that size, but they'll have to keep a record of a contribution that size. And if it's over the reportable threshold, they will have to adjust that. And so, to the extent that the pricing methodology is favorable to a committee can take advantage of that. To the extent that in the context of a presidential campaign or another large campaign that may be collecting thousands or perhaps, I suppose, even millions of contributions over the Internet and the $250 adds up, they can take advantage of that. And the only time it would hurt them is when they get to $2,300. And if my math is right, that's 0.1%. I think they can deal with that. They may have some mathematical problems if somebody starts getting close. But I'm sure the computers can handle that. So I just don't think it's terribly consequential either way. But I particularly want to note that had we approved Draft B, this idea that somehow this would lead to other cost shifting of greater significance, I think, is not likely. I also want to note that my willingness to vote for this is conditioned by the existing technology and business practices. That is to say, it's obvious that this practice exists today. I think if you ask the average consumer when paying his or her tax bill, where the cost went, they would say, well, that was the taxing authority that was making me pay that. But it is quite conceivable that an evolution of business practices or a change in technology could result in a reconsideration of this and a different result at some point in the future, and I'm certainly open to that personally. But again, because we're not telling the committee, the requester, that they can't set this up and offer their services to political committees, or, as I understand it, the only consequence is this issue of how this $2.49 fee is reported, then I'm willing to support Draft B so that we can get an answer and, excuse me, Draft B as well. We're willing to support Draft A so that we can get an answer and they can go out and try to market this service and we can see how it goes. And if, as I say, there are changes in technology or commercial practices that would merit revisiting this at some point in the future, we can do so.
Very good. Other comments? Discussion? Mr. Buckley?
Would the Commissioner's motion include the language modification I discussed at the beginning?
Yeah. Absolutely. And any other technical and conforming amendments that are required.
Okay. Very good. Commissioner Weintraub has moved the adoption of Draft A, including the amendments discussed by Mr. Buckley earlier. Any other technical conforming amendments? Seeing no other requests for discussion, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Nay.
Madam Secretary, if you could record that Commissioner Weintraub's motion has been adopted by a vote of 4-1, with Commissioner Von Spakovsky dissenting. Thank you very much, Mr. Buckley. Smith? So the only other item on our agenda includes management and administrative matters. Ms. Clark, are there any management or administrative matters to discuss today?
No, Mr. Chairman, there are not.
Very good. And with that, we will bring the meeting to a close. Thank you very much.